What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show here, and we are going to open the phone lines, area code 512-248-8252, and I am especially interested in hearing your views about this whole election fraud issue. Meanwhile, getting on back to the news, this really is kind of weird. Over in London, there was a public library that hired a man to dress in a rainbow-colored, bare-bottomed, dildo-swinging monkey suit as part of a program to encourage children to read. This, needless to say, provoked a tremendous outrage among locals and parents, and they've now apologized for the rainbow dildo butt monkey and have terminated the contract with the group that provided that, you'll pardon the expression, entertainment. Now, Facebook, the same Facebook that just shut down the Shahab news agency in Gaza, is airing and promoting a mini docuseries featuring a transgender couple who want to raise their child as non-binary and, among other things, are trying to push this newborn to breastfeed on a male chest. Talk about teaching the little rugrat about frustration and pointlessness early on in their life. But this docuseries is called 9 Months with Courtney Cox, and it opens with a Facebook Watch original label right across the screen. And the friend star narrates what is supposed to be a parent's journey through infertility, pregnancy, loss, birth, and raising a family. But the show obviously carries a charged agenda at the heart of many cultural debates today. Now, interestingly enough, there's a story that came out of Russia today talking about this LGBTQ's obsession with influencing children could trigger a major cultural backlash here in America that might prove to be very unfortunate to a lot of people. And they specifically bring on out this gay men's choir who put out a video saying they were coming for the children. Then there was the school district that was teaching sexually explicit material to third graders. And yeah, people are getting very upset and unhappy about that. And So, there could be a major, major backlash from that. All right, everyone is getting reparations fever now, and Jamaica is now demanding £7 billion compensation from the United Kingdom for Britain's involvement in the slave trade over hundreds of years. So, good luck getting that. Getting on to other issues of science and health, over at the Physicians for Social Responsibility, they have obtained documents showing that the Environmental Protection Agency knew the chemicals being used in fracking operations were toxic, but approved them anyway. And this, these potentially carcinogenic chemicals, some of them are radioactive. They can degrade into what are called PFAS or forever chemicals. And, the theory we were being told at the time was that all this fracking material would stay deep underground where it was safe. And we have learned through hard and bitter experience that these chemicals do percolate back up just as the fracked gas does. And it's coming out of people's faucets. I remember seeing videos of people turning on the tap in their home and holding a lighter and having that the bubbles in the water ignite. So and of course, it destroys the value of the homes. Nobody's going to buy a home where you've got methane coming out of all of the faucets in the house. We were talking about Cyber Polygon 2020, and there's an article about it over at Blacklisted News. Now, this all took place on July 9th, and it triggered a lot of widespread concern. Mostly because there have been so many simulations recently that end up being a reality. You know, there was back in 2019, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the World Economic Forum, and the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security conducted Event 201, which was a simulation of how the world would react if a coronavirus pandemic swept across the planet. And of course, 6 months later, we had the COVID-19 pandemic. Interestingly enough, just as Cyber Polygon was about to start, a real attack happened. now, the Reveal hacking group has basically vanished from the internet. And a lot of people are saying, well, this is Putin cleaning up the Russian act. And no, for all we know, Reveal was a U.S. NSA operation, and they're simply rolling up the carpet, you know, to disappear and not leave an evidentiary trail. There is no evidence that Russia was behind any of this, other than the idea that the last compromised computer in a long chain of compromised computers was located in Russia, quite probably to frame them. It's very easy to do. Okay, the other story here that's kind of interesting, and I've been talking about this one for a while. This is coming out of Zero Hedge, and they're saying that it's time to basically stop the hype over electric vehicles. And the fact is that electric vehicles have been around for, you know, almost a century. Back in 1901, the Los Angeles Times declared the electric automobile will quickly and easily take precedence over all other types of motor vehicles if the claims which Mr. Edison makes for his new battery be not overstated. And they actually were. In 1911, the New York Times declared that the electric vehicle has long been recognized as the ideal solution because it is cleaner and quieter and much more economical. I will grant you the quieter part. They are very quiet. But the part of the electric vehicle equation that people are not paying attention to, and this is true out in Hawaii, they're saying we're going to have 90% electric vehicles and we're going to cut our carbon emissions and fossil fuel use. No, you won't, because you have to charge those electric vehicles, and most of the power stations charging those vehicles are fueled by petroleum, by coal or various other carbon-based fuels. And the reality is that if half of America went to electric vehicles, our power grid would collapse. There is simply not enough generating capacity to have a huge population of electric vehicles. That's the missing component, is a new, clean, cheap source of electricity. Cue the fusion reactors. All right, we're going to take a phone call now. Kelly in Austin. Hello, Kelly. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
About natural gas bubbling out of faucets. I've investigated this a lot. I'm a consultant, a geochemical consultant. I've done this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Far more than the average geochemist, I assure you. Now, 99 out of 100 of those cases are not traceable to fracking. What's happening? These cases, gas in that case is coming not out of a thermogenic source. It's coming out of a biogenic source. Typically, what you'll find is that there are lignite beds that are the source of the gas, and we can tell the difference between, say, a lignite or a lignite gas and a thermogenic gas, which is a gas that's going to be produced from an oil and gas reservoir, by the overall gas composition and by the isotopic signatures. And you nail it. You can nail it each time. And in one case I know, there was a case up in Shreveport. I worked on this one some years ago. A woman walked in, and she walked to her parents' house, and she lit a match under her faucet, and it damn near caught the house on fire. Well, they thought it was from a fracking operation associated with the Haynesville Shale, just down the road from there. So we did an intensive investigation, and what we showed unequivocally is that gas was coming from lignite beds that their water well had penetrated.
Uh-huh.
What caused this to happen was that there had been an extended drought over several years. They started pumping, all the landowners up there started pumping their wells very hard. They lowered the water pressure across those lignite beds, and that caused the gas to mobilize. It's there, and unless you reduce the pressure, say when you produce shale gas, you have to reduce the pressure, so you have to produce a lot of water in order to lower the pressure to mobilize the gas. And that's exactly what happened. Now, in other cases where I can show you there's thermogenic gas not too far from there over in Panola County, Texas, for example. I've done that. I looked at that a lot. That thermogenic gas is not coming up along oiling. It's not coming up along wells. That gas is coming up through the different reservoirs deeper than the subsurface along fractures, and then it's seeping into the Carrizo-Wilcox aquifer up there at the base, at the interface between the Carrizo-Wilcox and the Cretaceous, highly fractured and faulted Cretaceous formations. And it's admixing with the thermogenic gas, the biogenic gas, and overwhelming the biogenic gas in the Carrizo-Wilcox. This has been looked at extensively across the Marcellus Shale. There are countless studies in the Marcellus Shale that differentiate very clearly between biogenic gas associated with lignite and thermogenic gas associated with oil and gas reservoirs. And the gas that are showing up in these in wells in faucets and people's houses, it is overwhelmingly coming out of a lignite source. Overwhelmingly.
Okay.
I've written many reports on that. I've testified on that many times. I can refer you to countless public peer-reviewed publications on that. And it's the kind of thing that, for example, the Earth First or the Sierra Club likes to misrepresent. And I've caught them many times doing that. So be careful when you hear about things like that, because you have to understand that not all natural gas is alike. And there's an easy way, a foolproof way, to differentiate one from the other, but it takes a competent geochemist to design the study and then to interpret the data. I'll even send you a very basic report I wrote on one to illustrate exactly how you can differentiate between those.
Okay.
If you're interested in that,
Pete.
Yeah, I've got drawers full of reports I've written on this for the years. I've made presentations on this before invited presentations before meetings of the different geological and engineering societies. I hear the same thing time and time again from people who attend these conferences that we're being blamed for something that we don't think we did. How do we tell the difference? Well, let's do this. And you ought to see the looks on their faces when they realize that the gas that they're probably looking at is a lignite gas. It's not a thermogenic gas. Let's say a biogenic gas, not a thermogenic gas. But that doesn't stop. Various environmental organizations from charging it and misrepresenting something because they just don't like oil and gas. Period. So anything that they can blame on the oil and gas industry, especially if it's related to fracking, they will do so, and they will knowingly lie. In many cases, they're not smart enough to lie. They don't know what they're looking at. But many of them should know better. They are well-educated, but it doesn't stop them from misrepresenting that. So anyway, I just want to chime in on that, Mike. I'll send you a report, a very simple report to read. I had to write this one so that it could be read by non-technical people, and I wrote it specifically for the Louisiana Department of Natural Resources, who asked me to look into that matter up in Sabine Parish, Louisiana, Caddo Parish, Louisiana, many years ago. Mm-hmm. And again, that's just one of many, many, many such reports I've written over time. Now, there is thermogenic gas showing up in wells. 9 times out of 10 is coming up along natural pathways. And how do you tell the difference there? Because you don't see a pattern consistent with the point source. What you see, for example, in Panola County, Texas, is the occurrence of natural gas that's so widespread that it cannot be traced back to any particular source. And when you go back and you look at the geology of the basin, you can very clearly see that these gases are coming up along fractures and faults that subcrop beneath the Carrizo-Wilcox formation, which comprises the primary aquifer up in that part of the world. So, yeah, it's there, but it's coming up primarily along natural pathways, and it has been doing that for a very, very long period of time.
All right. Well, thank you for that clarification. And of course, that's just one aspect of the fracking controversy. The other being that rather than fracking, with water, which would be safe, the fracking companies are using very toxic chemicals. And the gist of the story was that the Environmental Protection Agency knew these chemicals were toxic and carcinogenic, and they went ahead and approved anyway.
Well, I have a hard time finding a pathway for chemicals injected into formations of 7,000 feet. For example, working their way up along well bores into shallower formations. You just can't get it there. You can't get to the shallower zones from the deeper zones that way. You know, and we've been involved in countless court cases involving that. And in no case I've been involved in have plaintiffs been able to establish that their claim that any of these fracking chemicals that were injected at 7,000, 9,000, 11,000 feet have made their way up into the shallow subsurface. I'll tell you how to get there. Mishandling at the surface. If you're careless
okay,
at the surface.
Okay, that's certainly a possibility. The fracking pipe and the casing were substandard, and there was actually a crack.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are things like that that can happen, you know, but that's the exception, not the rule. Many times it's just mishandling of something, and yeah, I mean, there could be mechanical failures, and certainly there are, you know, but those are the exceptions and not the rule right now. I'm involved in another matter over in Louisiana. It's not dissimilar to that, and so it'll be. I can look at it right now. I can say, okay, this is going to be just like all the other cases. Bam, bam, bam. You know, because I can look at the chemistry. It takes me about 15 minutes looking at the complete chemistry to tell you, okay, this is thermogenic or this is biogenic. You know, and if it's biogenic up there. It's just not going to have the geochemical signature, anything that remotely looks like a thermogenic gas. And if you look again at the shallow subsurface, you'll find that most of those water wells up there, you know, are drilled through lignite beds. And when they cross those lignite beds and they start pumping a lot of water, they depressurize those sands, they depressurize the lignite beds, and they mobilize that gas. And the gas then flows into the water lines to the house. In this one case up in Shreveport, north of Shreveport, the old landowner up there had a well, and he ran his water from the well through a pressure tank, and he was able to bleed off pressure there before it ran into his house. Well, he had the bright idea, well, I'll take the pressure tank off. So he did. He replaced the pressure tank it didn't have a pressure tank. He just ran it through a tank. And that water then went right into his house. Well, that's when he started getting gas showing up in his house right there. I said, okay, well, you took your pressure tank off there. I said, why'd you do that? Oh, I just did. You know, okay, well, you didn't do yourself any favors because you were able to control the flow of gas at that point. You didn't know it was there, but the pressure would bleed off at the valve. And, you know, you had... water then flowing into his house from there. I've seen that more than once. So they're interesting problems to deal with, but I've done it so much now that I can tell you. I take one look at the chemistry and I can tell you what it is, where it came from. And invariably, it's going to be a lignite bed in the shallow subsurface. Anyway, that's my comments after many years of working.
Well, two issues here. First of all, I know that the environmentalists are sort of making war on carbon, which doesn't really make a lot of sense. My peeve with them is they never have a viable alternative technology that seems to work. Second of all, is it possible to use the lignite as an energy source? And
Well, sure.
So stay on the line. I want to hear your answer to that. We'll be right back after the commercials.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened by what you say. It chills right to the core, this talk of holy war.
Welcome back to our show here. We're still talking with Kelly in Austin, and I just, you know, if there's that much methane in these lignite deposits, is it practical to look at them as a potential energy source in the future?
Well, yeah, are you talking about the lignite itself or just or the gas?
Well, lignite, I mean, because, you know, getting down to the lignite and harvesting the gas.
Okay, well, for example, in the Black Warrior Basin in Arizona, that's a major lignite basin, and there's a lot of coal gas produced from that. The San Juan Basin, they do the same thing up there. I have a friend of mine who went to grad school together. He works with BP, and he's running the lignite gas operation up there in the San Juan Basin.
Okay, well, you know, I thought I was being brilliant here, but apparently other people have already thought about this. And anyway, Kelly, thank you very much for helping to bring some more light into the fracking controversy. And we're going to let you go here. We have open phone lines, 512-248-8252. I still want to hear your reactions to the election fraud crisis. And we're going to go to Miles in Maine. Hello, Miles. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Boy, is it... Aloha, Michael. Boy, is it fortunate to have Kelly in the audience. That was an excellent conversation there.
Yes.
Enlightening, to say the least. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was listening to you before you made your call out to the Vero Rangers. I was thinking on a similar parallel there. You know, if we could get this election fraud stuff out, you know, if we can get the suppression of the media defeated by any way possible, and, you know, I mean, that's the only way we're ever going to do it. And I was thinking on those lines, if we could get this information out to sources that maybe we all know, we all have maybe relatives or friends working overseas, mm-hmm. we can have them forward this stuff to one of the local media authorities. I still have to think, you know, a lot of these nations around us revel in our folly and, you know, would love to get that kind of information out. You know, maybe not every one of them, but maybe a handful. And that would be a big benefit, I think. So I think you're onto something there. And I think, like you said, if we can get those articles, get them downloaded, get them out and start passing them around the globe, maybe we'll get some well-received commentary and get the ball rolling.
Yeah, well, you know, the fight is cut out for us. As I mentioned earlier, just looking at social media, the Democratic shills are out there, the Twitter bots are out there running, and you know, they're basically just trying to say the whole thing is a fraud, it's irrelevant, it's a few irregularities, it's not going to change the outcome, but it looks like there are going to be major reversals in Arizona and Georgia. Pennsylvania is just getting started on their audit, and those three states alone, if they are recertified for Donald Trump, then he is the president of the United States of America, and it's going to open up a whole constitutional can of worms. I'd like to think that maybe working within the system is going to resolve this, but remember, over at the Supreme Court, justices see no evil, hear no evil, and speak no evil, have refused to listen to any lawsuits regarding the election fraud, and I'm very concerned that... this may wind up with people going into the streets about the election fraud, and they're going to be joined by millions of these instantly homeless people when the eviction moratorium ends in another couple of weeks.
Yeah, and Michael, for that reason more than anything, because of the neglect of the American people by the Supreme Court, I would love to see this thing just turned around, one, because it's the right thing to do. Not because I'm the greatest Trump fan, although I do support Trump, but I do, you know, I'm 50-50 with it. When he's not right, I'm not with him, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, I do think he's far better than anything we've got that's been offered up. One other thing, Michael, I'm just surprised, yet I'm not, that this mayor from Miami can make this kind of commentary. I mean, wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
you know,
that's just really out there. I mean, mayors don't have war parties, war powers, rather. But again,
yeah.
you know, Biden may be thinking about starting major wars in Haiti and Cuba just to keep the corporate media from reporting on what's coming out of Arizona and Georgia.
Yeah, I'd like to hear what Tom's got to say on that from Florida and some of the other folks, Marco, maybe Jim from New York, whatever. But, I mean, man, I'm surprised that nobody's lambasted this guy. They're not calling for his removal or anything. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, good people there still, you know, Christians or whatever the case may be. I mean, we always get out here and support the Christians or Christians and everything like that. They got a lot of Christians there, and here's a guy saying that send one of the most powerful, if not the most powerful, military on an attack mission over there. Wow, how absurd. But anyway, Michael, have a great show, and thank you so much for being there.
All right, thank you very much. And the phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. We've got to take another commercial break. And please call in about the election issue. We'll be right back.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporations, Wall Street and the banks rule our politicians. They don't deserve our thanks. Then they tell us the banks are too big to fail, when the banksters all need to be in jail.
Welcome back to our show here. We have some of the phone lines are open, 512-248-8252. And we're going to go to Laura in Michigan. Hello, Laura. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I had heard that Sidney Powell did not want to go to the Supreme Court again because she just doesn't trust it. So instead, they were thinking about the states that have Republican legislatures, that when they find the fraud in the votes, that instead that they would have the senators recall the electors.
Yes, that is within
them.
The authority of the state legislatures. They can recall the electors and say that, there was a mess up. I think when the Arizona results come out and the Georgia results come out, they're not going to wait for Pennsylvania. We're going to see a lot of states start to implement full audits of the 2020 election.
I think that's a better way, don't you, than going to the Supreme Court?
Well, we have to resolve the issue of the fact that we have an occupant in the White House who is not supposed to be there, and there is no provision within the Constitution to deal with a president who has won the Oval Office through fraud.
That's right. So we have to do something.
Yeah, we have to do something.
I definitely think he's got to get out.
I mean, this goal, for me, this is way more important than Biden or Trump themselves. This is about whether we, the people, are in control of this country to some extent or not. And, you know, if it turns out that we've had these fraudulent elections, we know there was fraud in 2016. We know there was fraud in 2020. We're going to start looking back at other elections and wondering, you know, have we been living under a tin pot dictatorship? And if so, do we owe this tin pot dictatorship any obedience or any money or, for that matter, the lives of our children for these endless wars of aggression?
I just don't feel like our government being over, our republic being overturned into the communist country, which is what it would turn into very quickly with Biden or whoever's pulling Biden's strings.
Oh, they're well on their way. They're definitely on their way.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Mike.
All right, you've got it, and we're going to go to Andrea in Oklahoma. Hello, Andrea. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes. What's on my mind is they've already counted the votes, not once, not twice, but three times, and they're going to count them again, or they're holding on to the what their results is. I think they should release it, and if the media is standing in the way of reporting the results, we need to be tuning out. Of course, you know, I'm just saying that because I know that.
I assume you're talking about Arizona, and Arizona did two counts, and apparently what they found was so out of whack with the certified totals that they bought all new machines for the third count, which is now complete, and they are going to be releasing some of the results tomorrow.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Yeah.
And whenever it came to what's his name, Kelly, that just went through all that, over and over and over about how, you know, the oil and gas industry with fracking. Here, I live in Oklahoma, where we never had earthquakes until they started fracking.
Yeah.
Denton, Texas outlawed fracking in Denton, Texas. And, right after every fracking, my house was rocking and rolling. Pictures were falling off the walls. And there's so much damage to all these buildings. I live in Edmond, and you know that the bridges and we have dams around here have been damaged. There is so much bad with fracking, and whatever he was saying, if they didn't frack, would they still turn on the faucet and light a match and it almost take the house down because it, all of a sudden it's lit? I'm thinking, you know, he's doing a lot of talking, flim-flam, a pig in a poke. It's just, if they would have never fracked, there wouldn't be a problem with that. And so that's my bottom line to it, is it's bad.
Well, you're right. The quakes are a definite issue, and they actually knew that pumping fluids into fault systems was going to trigger earthquakes going all the way back to 29 Palms out in California, where they started pumping wastewater, stuff that they couldn't dispose of any other way. They started pumping it into an earthquake fault, and surprise, surprise, they started getting quakes along that fault system. They stopped the pumping, and the quakes went away. The quake that damaged the Washington Monument was thought to have been caused by nearby fracking.
So, you know, these people that they work for the nuclear industry, the gas and oil and gas, there are better ways to go at things. We need to find another source. But if there's a safer way to get oil out of the ground, because it keeps producing, we just need to milk it a different way. So, you know, at this point, all his words were just words.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a bunch of garbage, and it's to cover up what's been done. Because bottom line, and he's probably going to call back, is if they hadn't fracked, if they hadn't have done what they did, they wouldn't have a problem with their water when they turned it on.
Well, basically what he is saying is it's the fact that there is a water shortage, and people are over pumping their wells that intersect with these lignite deposits is what's basically sucking the gas out of the rock and bringing it up. But it occurs to me that if you have a home where there is gas in your water supply, that there you could basically have a large tank where the water is stored and the methane bubbles out there and is possibly, you know, burned off like they burn off surplus methane at the oil refineries in order to clean up the water before it goes into the house. There may be a product idea there.
Okay, well, that was my two cents. I'll let you go. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And we're going to talk to Layla in Canada. Hello, Layla. Welcome back. A lot of people have been talking about you.
Yeah, hi, Mike. I got a call yesterday that a query had been made about me, and I'm very grateful that anybody even remembers me and was concerned about my well-being, but I am fine.
Good.
I just wanted to correct. There was no disagreement on RBN policy. I simply had to attend to a disabled friend whose husband was being treated for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
She recovered, but while I was in the city where she lives, I came into contact with a lot of refugees from Syria, and I was appalled at what I learned. There is a safer way to avoid fracking, and that is to steal it from Syria. From what I'm told, and again, I can't verify this because it's still hearsay, but right now, I mean, just like Kissinger said, you have to depopulate the third world so that the U.S. can avail itself of the resources there. I was told by a couple of people, that the single males who stayed there, uncles or brothers, mm-hmm. that the U.S. military has moved in with families. Now, I don't know if they mean children or just wives and partners. U.S. military, the Russian military is there. The Iranian soldiers are there. Turkey has soldiers there as well. And so does Hezbollah. From Lebanon. So they're all there to try and get a piece of the action. Prior to the civil war, it was Assad's, Bashar al-Assad's cousin who was taking all the revenue from the oil and gas and siphoning it off to his personal account. But the many of the people were loyal to Bashar al-Assad because he made things so good for them, just like Saddam Hussein had done.
Yes.
You know that to get into the public universities or the public schools in Syria, as well as in Iraq before they did away with Saddam Hussein, girls, everybody went to university, but in order to get into the public institutions, you had to have high academic grades. If you go to a private school, it means you couldn't get into the, you didn't have high enough grades to get in. So they've just destroyed the wonderful nations that were created.
Mm-hmm.
And but meanwhile, all the soldiers have moved in. Turkey in particular is there to try and get rid of the Kurds that are in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the safe way. If we're going to need oil and gas, get it from another country and let them suffer the consequences. And we also get the blowback when those refugees come here and we have to support them. It's a dilemma. And on the issue of distractions by creating wars in Cuba or elsewhere, remember Ronald Reagan's invasion of the horrendous, huge threat to the U.S. of the tiny island of Grenada in 1983?
Yeah, that was just 24 hours after the Marine Barracks bombing, which was a huge, huge embarrassment for the U.S., and they went into Grenada to get the media to stop talking about that.
Yep, a distraction. So if Biden is starting anything in Cuba, we have to look at what is he trying to hide? What is he trying to direct our attention at? But the whole notion of attacking Grenada, I mean, I've been there. It's such a peaceful, it's such a harmless island, regardless of the political philosophy some of the people may espouse. But anyway, I won't keep you any longer. I just wanted to thank those who had concerns. I'm well. I did not contract. I was obviously exposed to COVID, but I did not contract it. So in my opinion, it is a highly overrated threat. And I cannot speak for other people, but I was 76 just a couple of days ago. And if I could survive
happy belated birthday.
Then, Thank you. Thank you. So if I could survive the exposure, it is surely not the threat that the powers that be would like us to think. It's just part of the whole global chaos. So if the U.S. military is all, if all the military around the world that has an interest in Syria is there, there's no doubt that they're in numerous other countries.
No question about it. All right. Well,
anyway,
Layla, good to hear from you. Glad you're doing well. Stay healthy, and thank you for the phone call. We're going to switch over to James in Vancouver. Hello, James. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon. All kinds of oil and gas on the 49th parallel between, say, the Manitoba-Saskatchewan border all the way west to the Alberta border and parts of Montana, North Dakota there. It's all related to what that place was millions of years ago. It was the bottom of a lake, I guess.
Yes.
And you do have lignite coal. I've seen big mines in a place called Estevan, and it's all surface surface mining. It's right near the surface, and they have had, like, the town of Medicine Hat, Alberta, at the beginning of the 20th century, discovered the gas, and they set up a big clay factory there. You know those clay jars people used to have?
Yes.
They set up. I think they actually, one of them actually got blown up because the roof is no longer there, but the kilns are there.
Okay.
And all the attachments. It's quite an interesting place to visit because the history of that area, you got cattle on the surface and you got oil and gas below. So it's, and they piped that gas all through Canada and, you know, east and west. So, yeah, you're going to have gas coming up.
Yeah.
No question about it. So, anyway, that's it right there.
Okay, well, thank you very much here for the phone call. Now, normally we have the one call per caller per day, but I'm going to make an exception here because Kelly called back in. He wants to clarify why the gas in water is absolutely not from fracking. And Kelly, give us the story again.
I want to give you some of my flim-flam here, according to the caller from Oklahoma. The lignite beds are typically within a couple of hundred feet of the surface.
Okay.
That's because water wells, private water wells, are not typically much deeper than that. You don't frack lignite beds. The zones that the oil and gas companies are fracking are way deeper than that, thousands of feet deep. So I want her to listen to me one more time. The reason you're getting the gas out of the lignite is that when you pump those wells hard, especially during periods of drought, you lower the water levels in the aquifer. And that causes the water levels to fall, and as the water levels fall, that lowers the pressure across the lignite beds. That mobilizes the gas. If you have a well that's penetrating a lignite bed, it will mobilize, and it will reach the reach the well bore and then show up and show up in your well.
Well, it's like what happens in soda pop when you take the cap off and the internal pressure is released, and then all of a sudden the gas starts bubbling out of the soda pop. It's the same mechanism, right?
Yes. It's exactly right. Now, about earthquakes and the setting of seismicity, we know that there's a long history and a lot of research done on this. When you inject fluids into the subsurface, in many cases you lubricate or reactivate old faults.
Yes.
Years ago, there was a thrust fault that was reactivated out near Denver because they were injecting a waste down into the subsurface disposal zone. That lubricated the fault, and that caused some slippage along the fault, and you ended up with some seismic activity along the front range. So I don't doubt that when you pump something into the subsurface, especially if you're fairly close to a fault, that you could pressurize or depressurize something, and you could get some slippage along those faults. It's never been my intention to say to argue that the oil company is blameless in anything. But what I don't like to see is I don't like to see the oil and gas industry blamed for things that it didn't do. And, you know, this is what happens when you get too much, when you have too many people with, say, Earth or the Sierra Club running around spouting off things that they know nothing about. Many of those people are incompetent, Mike. I'll close off with this, and I'll give you an example of just how incompetent and dishonest they are. I was involved in a case in Florida. I went to Gulf Power Company. I went down there to visit with them in Tallahassee. There's a group called River Keepers Alliance out of Massachusetts, and they sent they're a bunch of do-gooding crusaders. They sent some of their stealth people down there to grab samples down gradient from an ash disposal pond at a coal-fired power plant, and they were grabbing surface water samples from puddles, and then they sent them off to be analyzed. And so I was sitting there in this meeting, and they thought they had us. Look at this. And they showed us the analyses, and they showed me a picture of some of the pond puddles that they were sampling. They were bright red. Okay, well, so that, what? So then they showed me the chemical analyses, and they had things like silica and aluminum that were just sky high. I mean, way off chart. So I asked them, did you filter these samples when you collected them? No, we just collected them, put them in the bottles, and acidified the samples. Well, you know what you did? You're not looking at the water. You're looking at the suspended components from the clays, because when you acidify that sample, you lower the pH remarkably, and that causes all these cations to become to dislodge and go off into solution. So they weren't looking at anything from the water itself. And when I explained that to them, I said, you know, you can't just run out in a willy-nilly fashion and then try to and collect a sample without knowing what you're doing, and then try to represent that in a court of law without making a fool of yourself somehow. But this goes on all the time, and it's not just there, but it also happens, again, with oil and gas cases. Anyway, so the caller from Oklahoma, listen to me. Like what I said is caused by the depressurization of the lignite beds by pumping of water wells, shallow water wells. The wells, the fracking zones are far, 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 far deeper than that, thousands of feet deep. So that's where it's coming from, and that's exactly how you produce coal gas. My colleague, who's working up in the San Juan Basin, the Petroleum Engineer who's managing that, has to do the same thing. They have to pump a lot of water to lower the pressure to mobilize the gas. Same thing in the Black Warrior Basin. Same place. It's the same thing anywhere you have coal gas. And yes, lignite is a major source of fuel for coal-fired power plants, and you find it all over the western United States. In Wyoming, you find it in Texas. There are huge lignite mines in Texas. There are huge lignite mines in Louisiana. There are lignite mines in Alabama. These things, lignite is a major source of fuel. And it can be also a major source of natural gas if it's deep enough to warrant the kind of production that we're talking about here. It's a very significant source of power for the coal-fired power industry. We don't use lignite. We don't use anthracite anymore.
Yeah.
Bituminous coal, you can use a lot of that, but lignite is so abundant and so low cost to produce that's the primary or preferred source coal for coal-fired power plants. Okay, I've said what I got to say. Thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot for the clarification, and we're going to go to Alan in Texas. Hello, Alan. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, about this fracking. I myself have drilled a couple of hundred feet down for shallow well, and oil companies came along and started doing a bunch of boreholes and blowing up areas in search of oil. And I had a good sweet water well that served my own family.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time they got through it, that well water was not fit to drink. There's no point in trying to sue an oil company. They got way too much money and way too many lawyers and way too many hired guns.
Yes.
And basically they told me, too bad. Just too bad. I had several thousand dollars in that well, in the equipment, the holding tanks, etc. So that's just one other side of this oil exploration and fracking thing. And by the way, gas rises. So I don't care how deep that fracking is, that gas is going to rise, and it's going to come up, and it's going to come into those shallow wells. And it would have been very easy to say, you just drilled in the wrong spot. But that was not the case. I had good, sweet water, and they destroyed my well. That's just my viewpoint, and it happened to me personally. I thought you should know just to balance out the argument just a little bit.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the phone call, Alan. We're going to let you go, and we're coming up to the end of the program. And I want to go back again to our top stories because this is really very important. And again, I need all of our listeners and readers to copy off these articles about what's going on in Arizona and Georgia and Pennsylvania and up in New Hampshire and everywhere else where evidence of election fraud is surfacing. Save those articles to your local computer because they're being scrubbed from the internet just as fast as possible. And start emailing them to everybody you know and ask them to forward it along because, again, social media is being filtered. Now they're filtering text messages ostensibly to prevent vaccine misinformation. But I would imagine right now Biden is saying we can use that same system to shut people down who are talking about election fraud in 2020. So, you know, please take the time to do that because we have to shout down all the paid shills and Twitter bots that are out there trying to cover up the crime of the century. And as I've said many times, the issue here is not whether I want Joe Biden or Donald Trump to be president. Trump has been was a tremendous disappointment. Biden is even more of a disappointment here. But the issue is whether we still have a republic with working elections by which we, the American people, can choose our own leaders and, most importantly, vote out the ones that refuse to do what we tell them to do, because that's what they're paid to do. All the representatives and all the senators and even the president, their job is to basically carry out the orders of the American people. And if the elections are being rigged, then they can basically do whatever they want to do without fear of your voting them out. Start more wars, inflate the dollar to worthlessness, jab needles in your arm, expose your kids to a drag queen story hour and whatever else just, you know, pops into their fevered little minds. And so to me, this is the big problem and issue of the day. And we're going to be watching from Arizona for tomorrow. And again, Tucker Carlson is covering this on his program tonight. So you're going to want to tune in and see that as well. All righty, we are coming up here on the end of the show, and so stay tuned for John Stedmiller. I'm sure he's got a lot to add to the discussion about what's going on. Please spread the word of Republic Broadcasting. Spread the word of WhatReallyHappened.com. Please donate. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.